Today's shiur is a Masechta Kedushin on Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom of the Amud, at the end of the line with the words, Hahu Gavra. Normally, in every regular Kedushin, the man says to the woman, Hareyat Mekudeshesli, he gives her something that is worth a Shava Pruta, and she is quiet, and by her being quiet, this indicates that she accepts the Kedushin. By accepting the item that's a Shavar Pruta, she is giving her permission to become Mekudeshes to the man, and she is Mekudeshes. In today's shiur, we will discover two instances where a woman was quiet, and yet this did not indicate that she agreed to the Kedushin. Begins the Gemara with the first case. Hahu Gavra, there was this man. The Kaddish, he was Mekadesh and Isha. Betzifsa de Asa, with a small mat of myrtle twigs of Hadassim. Omrulei, so the people who were standing there said to him, or the Girsa of the Rush is that in fact the woman herself said to him, Omrulei, she said, not Omru, but Omrulei, she said to him, V'holes b'shavar pruta, what you're giving me, this small mat of hadassim is not worth a shavar pruta. Amar lahu, he said back to them, tigdish b'arbo zuzi d'ispa, you didn't notice, but there was four zuzim that were wrapped inside of the tzifsa d'asa, and it is with those four zuzim that I want you to become Mekudeshes to me. The woman at first, when she accepted it, did not realize, nobody there realized that there were four zuzim wrapped in the small mat of myrtle twigs. So what happened? Shakalta, she took it, v'ishtaken, she kept quiet. Rashi explained she didn't actually take it because she had already taken it. She was holding on to it. But it means she didn't drop it. She continued to hold on to the item, plus, she kept quiet. The question now is, did this show that she agreed to become Mekudeshes with the Arba Zuzim that were wrapped in the Tzivsa D'Asa? Amar Rava, so when Rava got the Shaila, he paskined. No, she's not Mekudeshes. Why? Havishti Kusa de Lachamat Nemois. This is a case where she is quiet after she received the money. V'chol Shti Kusa de Lachamat Nemois, Lav Klum Hi. And any time when one is quiet after receiving the money, that is meaningless. She kept quiet. She kept quiet, as Rashi explains. De la ichpa, she didn't think that she has to respond. In other words, on what she originally accepted the tzivsa d'asa, she discovered it wasn't worth a pruta. So when he said, become a kadesh with this, and she thought he meant the mat itself, and that wasn't worth a pruta, so that act itself was not a kedushin. Now she's already holding on to it. Now when he says again, become a kodesh to me with the four zuzim, she thinks to herself, I don't even have to respond to this. I don't accept this. This was not what we originally made up with. What we originally agreed to didn't work out. And now I have no reason to respond to it. The Ritva later in the sugi says, or because of tznius or busha, she decided not to respond. If it's a shtika before the item is given, then we say that that shtika indicates that she's maskim to the kedushin. But if the original kedushin didn't work out, and now she's holding on to it, and now she remains quiet, there are many reasons why she could remain quiet. We don't say that she was agreeing to the kedushin. Amar Rava said, Rava mino amino lo. From where will I bring a raya that what I said is correct, that shtika lachar mat mois? If the shtika takes place after she's already holding on to the money, it's lav klumu, it doesn't mean anything, and she's ainim kadesh. The sunny, we learned in the brisa. Omar lo, if he said to her, kansi sela zubibkot, take and accept this coin as something of a pikotin. In other words, you're going to be a shomer, you're going to watch over it, and you will have to return it to me. The chazer v'yomar lo, and then he changed his mind, and he said to her, hiskachili boy, that I want you to become a kadesh as to me by accepting this item, no longer as a pikotin, but rather as kesef kedushin, so that halach is as follows. If he tells it to her before she receives it, as he's giving it over to her b'shas matan mois mukudeshes. Then, in fact, she is mukudeshes. But lachar matan mois, if he makes this switch after she's already received this item, this cell as a pekodin, so then it depends. Rotzitsa, if she wants mukudeshes, she is mukudeshes. Loy rotzitsa, if she doesn't want, ain't a mukudeshes, she's not mukudeshes. And now Rava says we have to try to understand what does it mean with the terminology rotzah and loy rotzah. My rotzah u my loy rotzah. Elam, if you're going to tell me, rotzah damra in, that rotzah meant she said, yes, I agree. And what does loy rotzah mean? The amra loy, she says, I don't agree to become a kadesh to you. So the resha, as Rashi points out in the last Rashi, on the Amid, the loy polig bein rotsa loy rotsa. The ratio, which says mukudeshes, did not make a distinction between whether she wants or she doesn't want. So it would seem that where the seifa made a distinction after matan mois between rotsa, whether she was willing, or loy rotsa, she was not willing, the ratio is saying that across the board, she is mukudeshes. So if loy rotsa on the seifa meant that she said no, we don't understand the ratio. Mechlal, the ratio, as we turn to the Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, ki omra loy nami havi kedushin, Rashi says, bitmio, how could that be? If you're telling me where the ratio said across the board, she's mukadeshes, was speaking about, even in the case of the sefer where loy rotsa means loy, how could it be that in the ratio, even before matan mois, that if she says, I don't want to get married or engaged to him, that we should say, against your will, you're mukadeshes. So it cannot be that loy rotsa in the seifa means that she said no. And that's why the Gemara continues the question. If it would mean loy, so what would be pshat in the resha? Amai, how could you say the resha mukadeshes? V'ha ka'amra loy. She said, I don't want to become mukadeshes, and we can't force her to become mukadeshes. Elalav, because of this question, we must say that rotz is sadamra in the seifa, when it says she agrees, it means she said yes. What does loy rotzisa mean? The ishtika mishtaka, she was quiet. Loy rotzisa means she didn't say, as Rashi explains, she didn't say that I am merutza. It's not that she said negatively, I am not merutza. But loy rotzisa means she didn't indicate that she is merutza. What did she do? She kept quiet. So now it comes out, if this is the pshat in the resha in the seif, it comes out that if it's la'achar matan mois, so if she said, yes, I agree, then it is a good kedusha. I agree that the pekodin that you wanted to give me, and you gave me as a pekodin, now you're telling me to keep it as kedushin. I agree, she's mukadeshes. If she keeps quiet, she's ain't mukadeshes. In the resha, whether she says yes or whether she keeps quiet, since it's before matan mois, it'll be mukadeshes. So we have proven what Rava wants to say in our sugyu, Shema, you know, we have a proof that shtika delacher matan mois, that being quiet after the money is given, v'loy klumi, it is nothing. And that's why in the seifa, even though she was quiet, if it's after matan mois, it doesn't work. It only works if she said, yes, I will become a kedushas to you with this pekodin, which you now tell me I can keep for kedushin. Kasha ba befumnara mishmei de Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua. In the city of Fumnara, this is a place, they had a question on this comparison from the case of Pekodin to the case of the Hahu Gavra, who was Makadish with the Tzifsa da Asa, which our sugya began with. And the Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua in Fumnara asked the following question, mi dummy, as Rashi says, how can you compare one shtika to another? Hossam over there in the case of Pekodin, Betaris Pekodin Yavina Nihala. He gave it to her to keep as a Pekodin originally. And then after he gave it to her as a Pekodin, he says, I want you to become a Kedushas to me with this item. I want you to keep it as Kedushin. So there we say, if she did not explicitly say Ratzasa, she didn't say I write, I want, she just kept quiet. It's no good. Why? Because Savra, she was of the opinion, Ishadina Lahu, if I will drop it. Because what the Gemara is saying here now is going into a new area. We've discussed the shtika. The shtika, you're right. The shtika is no proof because It's la'achamat mois. But what about the fact that she kept it? So in the case of Pekodin, we could say it's still no proof that she kept it, she kept it as Kedushin, because Sarva Isha Din Lehu, if I'm going to drop it, Umitbiri, it'll get broken. The Rishonim here ask, why should a Sela break? And that's why the Rif, the Rosh, and the Ritva leave out the word Umitbiri. They just say, Isha Din Lehu, if I'll drop it, Mechayvinabu, if something will happen to it, I'll be responsible because I'm a Shomer. And the Rishash brings an old Tfus Yoshin, that instead of Mitbiri, it's Mitbidi with a Dalit, which means it'll get lost. If I drop it and it rolls away and it gets lost, Mechayven Obehu, I will be obligated because I'm a Shomer. So that's why I'm not dropping it. So from her speech, we have no proof, because it's Lachamat Mois. And from her not dropping it, we don't have a proof that she accepted as Kedushin. She didn't want to be obligated in the Chiyuvim of a Shomer if something is going to happen to it. And that's why she kept it. However, Bat Hocha, in the case of Ahu Gavra, in the case of the mat of myrtle twigs, Hocha Bataris Kedushin Yavin and Niala. To begin with, he gave it to her as Kedushin, not as a Pikotin. The E Isa Delay Nichala, and if in fact she doesn't want to go through with the Kedushin, now that he tells her, I'm not being Mekadosh to you with the mat, I'm being Mekadosh to you with the four Zuzim, Lisha Dinu, let her drop it, and since she didn't drop it, that indicates that she in fact is keeping it for Kedushin. And then in fact, such a Shtika Lachamat Mois will be a good Kedushin. So Rav Hunabred, Rav Yeshu, was asking on Rava, by Pekodin, I agree with you, it's not a proof when she keeps quiet Lachamat Mois, but in your case that you paskind, you can't bring a proof to that, because there she should have dropped it. She was never given it as a Pekodin. She was given as Kedushin. The first Kedushin didn't work out. Now he's proposing to her again with a new Kedushin with the four Zuzim. Let her drop it. She's not a Shomer. She kept it. That's a proof here that her being quiet and keeping it is for Kedushin. And therefore, my opinion is that she will be Mukadesh. She'll need a get. Poruch Rav Achoy had a question on Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yishu's question on Rava, a question on a question. The Rav Achoy says, no, I agree with Rava that she should be Eina Mukadesh in the case of the mat. Atu kula nashi dina gemiri. Do all women know all the halachas? Does she know that when she was given the money originally as kedushin, she's not a shomer, she's not held responsible? Hachanami sarva. She also was of the opinion, even in the case of the mat, isha dina lu, if I'm going to drop it, umitbri, and it gets broken, or like the Rishash said, umitbidi, it'll get lost, it'll roll away, something will happen to it, mischaivina. I will be obligated in the responsibility of returning this item, and I will have to pay. That's why I'm holding on to it. She thinks anytime something was given to her, she's responsible, even if she wasn't made a Shomer. She's not a Lumden. She doesn't know the halachas. So therefore, her being quiet and her not dropping it is also not a proof. And you could compare the shtika of Pekodin to the shtika of the case of the Ahu Gavra. And therefore, in both cases, la'achar matan mois, she will be einam kodeshes. She'll only be mekodesh before matan mois, or if she said explicitly that I accept this as a kedushin. Sholcha Rav Acha bar Rav lekamed Ravina. Rav Acha bar Rav sent a question to Ravina. Kahai gav the mai. Like this case of the Ahu Gavra with the mat. What is the halach if she keeps quiet? Lachar matan mois. Is Rav correct that ain't mukadeshes, or is Rav Hunabred Rav Yeshua correct that mukadeshes? Sholachla. He responded. Anan loy shamilon. As Rashi explains, we didn't hear this directly from Rav Hunabred Rav Yeshua, nor did anyone tell us this halacha in his name either. So anan loy shamilon had Rav Hunabred Rav Yeshua, but aton de shamilachu. You who did hear it, chushula, you should talk to bichoshesh, you should worry about it, that maybe she is in fact mukadesh, is like Rav Hunabred Rav Yeshua wants to make the distinction, and therefore, Rashi says, v'tzrichu gito, and therefore, it'll be necessary for her to have a get. So this is the first case where a shtika will, at least according to Rava, will not require a get. We will say that her shtika did not prove that she really accepted Kedushin, and she will not be Mekudesh according to the Shita of Rava. Now the Gemara tells us a second case where Shtika does not prove that she's Mekudesh, as how he Yitza, there was this woman, Davikomazav Navarshiki, she was selling Varshiki. What are Varshiki? We have a number of Pshatim in the Rishonim, which the Misaris HaShas brings down on the side. One Pshat is bundles of silk, or he brings down from Rabbeinu Chananel, that it means Margolius, it means pearls, or Rashi says that it means ribbons of silk. And what happened? Asa hu gavra, a man came, chata varshka, you know, he grabbed the varshka from her. Amra lei, so she said to him, havan alei, give me back my varshka. Amar la, he said to her, I avin alech mekidashtali, if I give it back to you, will you become a Kurdish through them to me? So shakalte, she took them from him, vishtiki, and she kept quiet. Now the question is, does this shtika indicate that she was mochel what he had taken and it belonged to him, and now that he's giving it back to her, she's getting something from him and she is mekudeshes? Or do we say that she was just quiet because she was getting back her original thing that had been grabbed from her? V'yomer Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman paskin on this shiloh, yichoyle lemeimer, she's able to say, in shakli yudidi shakli, yes, I took it, and I took my own. And in fact, the Run speaks out, it's not just she could say, but in fact, Chazal understood that if she's quiet, that's what she means. I don't have to answer to your marriage proposal. You're not somebody I want to get married to, but rather I'm being quiet because I'm taking back what was mine, and therefore she's not Mekudeshes. And in fact, the Pnei Yeshua speaks out that she cannot be Mekudeshes because there's no Eidim. Normally, in a normal case, when a man gives to the woman something that's worth a shavah pruta, and he says, Harei et Mekudeshli, and she's quiet, so the Eidim understand that she is agreeing. But once we hear where we have a case where he grabbed something from her and then he gives it back to her, and we're not sure that she's really accepting, so we don't have Eidim. There are no Eidim on this Kedushin. We don't know that it's a bona fide Kedushin. It lacks an Eidim, and that's the reason why there is no Kedushin over here. So Yechol Lameimer, according to the Ran, means that's how we tie up, that's how we understand what she is being quiet about, that I just took back what was mine to begin with. I'm not accepting it as Kedushin. Eser, Rav Dachman, so Rav asked the question, Rav Dachman, we learn, Kitcha Begezel, that if someone was Mekadosh, a woman with Gezel, or Bechomis, or Begneva, and Rashi explains what these three words mean. Gezel is stealing by force. Chomos is paying for something, but forcing the seller to sell when he doesn't really want to sell. And Gneva is when it is stolen without the knowledge of the owners. He comes at night in a sly way. He steals it. He doesn't force it with a gun or at knife point from the owner, and he grabs it away from him. So in all of these three cases, oy shechot of selam yod of a kitcher, or he grabbed a seller from her hand and was makadisher. And the Gemara further in Dafnun Beis Amid Aleph says that in fact the oy means ketzad. It's not a fourth example, but this is an explanation of the cases before that he grabbed. Let's say for Gezel, he grabbed from her hand and was Mekadesher, so the halacha is Mekudeshes. So this is a question on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says that we understand her being quiet is that she's just being quiet in Shakli to Dishakli, and here we see that if he was Mekadesh her with this item, she is Mekudeshes. More answers, Hasan B'dishadich. There it's speaking about, as Rashi explains, that they had been speaking before, and she had agreed that she will get married to him. She will become Mekudeshes to him. So then, if he grabs from her and says, I read Mekudeshesli, there we say her shtika indicates that she really wants to get married to him because they had spoken about it before. But where Rav Nachman's case, there was no Shaduchim. There was no talk about it getting Mekudeshes. Out of the blue, he grabbed it from her and now he wants to use that as Kesef Kedushin. So we say that in Loishadich, it is not acceptable as Kedushin. Her shtika does not mean she really is agreeing to the Kedushin. Uminot, Hamron, how do, from where do I know? Deshani, London, there is a difference between Shadachud Loisha, whether they were speaking about getting married before or not. The Sani, we learned in the Brisa. Omar law, he said to her, can see, accept, sell, this al Shani Chayavlchi, that I am obligated to you. So, take it back. I owe this to you. Here, take it back. He didn't say anything about Kedushin. V'chazav ra'amalon, and then he said to her, Hiskachi li boy, that I want you to be mekam mekudeshes with it. So, the halacha is, b'shas mat mois, if he said it to her as he's giving her the money. So, then it depends. Ratsa mekudeshes. If she agrees, she's mekudesh. Loi ratsa, if she doesn't agree, ain't a mekudeshes. And we'll soon see exactly what these terms mean. But la'achar matan mois. But if it was, he had already given it back what he owed her. Afila ratsa, so ain't a mekudeshes there. Even if she agrees and she says, okay, I will accept this kedushin, she's not mekudeshes. The reason is, as Rashi explains, because since he owed it to her, and when she took it back, she was taking it back as payment for what he owed her, then afterwards he says, you know what, why don't I use that as kesef kedushin? He hasn't actually given her anything, because she's already accepted this as a payment for what he owed her. So what new thing is he giving it to her? If he's still holding on to it, and she says, you know what, I'm moichel what you owe me, and now he gives it to her anyway as kedushin, he's giving her something new, because he could have kept it, and he didn't. He wants to give it to her, so that's the kesef kedushin. But if she was rotza after he had already paid back his debt to her, then he's not giving her anything new. The din is ainim kedushin. Now we have to analyze the reisha. The reisha says if it's before matan mois, then it depends. Is it ratza mekudeshes or loy ratza ainim kedushin? My ratza umay loy ratza. Ilay maratza damra in. If Ratsa means she said yes, and Loi Ratsa Damra Loi says no, I don't want to take this money back as Kedushin. Ha Ishtiko Havi Kedushin. So what could I deduce? So let's say she was quiet. She didn't say one way or the other. That would be a good Kedushin. It's only if Loi Ratsa, she said no, I don't want. But if she kept quiet, it would be a good Kedushin. So we have a question. Why do we have to be mechalik in the ratio between ratzasa and loy ratzasa? V'nisni mekudesh estam. We should just say in the ratio that if, when he owed her the debt, he gave it back to her, and as he's giving it back to her, before she received it, he says to her, this money that I owe you, I want to use it to be mekadesh you. So it should just say the word mekudeshes, ki hasam. And we have a precedent for that. What is the precedent that the Gemara is referring to? Rashi explains. This is the Gemara that we began our sugya with. On the Yud Beis Amid Beis, we brought a case of Kinsi Selazu B'Pikadin, in the case of the Pikadin, and then V'chazer, this is five lines from the bottom of the Amid, V'chazer Amal Iskachili Boy, B'Shas Matan Mois, Mikudeshes. It was only La'achar Matan Mois, we made a chilik there between Ratza and Loi Ratza. And the way the Gemara understood the safe and the ratio over there was that loy rotza means she was quiet. She didn't say I was rotza. So that was Rava's whole proof that if it's lacher matan mois, shtika lacher matan mois is no good. However, if it's before matan mois, then shtika koidem matan mois is good. So what do we see? That if we're speaking about in, yes, positive affirmation that she wants to become a kudeshes, and we're speaking about another case, shtika. So in the ratio, when we say mekudeshes, the ratio wasn't mechalik between ratza and loy ratza. Both of those cases are mekudeshes. All the ratio said there, by ratza say yes, and loy ratza meaning shtika, across the board, we gave one word, mekudeshes. So why don't we do the same thing over here? If the halacha is by shtika, that she's also mekudeshes, then just say, like you said over there, of course, if it's loy ratzasa, if she says befeirish, no, I don't want, then you can never force her. That's a given. So if I say mekudeshes, it must be referring to the two other cases where kedushin works, which is when she says in yes, or she's quiet. So just like you had that brisa by Pikadin, where by saying mekudeshes, it covers all cases that are good. In and shtika, say the same thing here. In and shtika with one word, mekudeshes. But you didn't do that. You said loy ratza loy. So ella must be ratza d'amra in loy ratza d'ishtika. It must be that when it says in the Reisha that ratza is good, that's when she said yes. But you know what loy ratza means? Loy ratza does not mean no. Loy ratza no is for sure no good. But loy ratza even includes, in this case, d'ishtika, that even if she keeps quiet, it is no good. V'katani de'ena mekudeshes. And it says she's not mekudesh. My taima. What's the reason? Why isn't it good if she's quiet? Because it's before matan mois. Because yechoil lemeimer in shakli to dishakli. Because she can say, I kept quiet because what do I have to answer? I don't have to, if he says I want to become mekudesh, he just grabbed this from me, and now he's giving me back what he owes me. I'm quiet because I'm just taking back what he grabbed from me. So therefore, the halacha is before matan moy, lacher matan moys, even if she says yes, it won't be good, as we explained before, because he's not giving her anything. If it's a choiv that he owed her and he paid it up already, he can't use that money as kedushin. But even koidem matan moys, it's only good if she says in. But if she's quiet, then that's the proof that we're bringing to Rav Nachman that she can say in shakli to di shakli. But now we have a problem. If that's the pshat in this brisa, velakasha hach the kitcha begezel b'chamasu b'gneva oishachat of selam yad of a kitcha mekudeshes. So how do we reconcile this theory? One place it says that if you're mekadesh with gezel chamasu b'gneva by grabbing from her hand and giving back to her, the halach is mekudeshes. And the other place we've proven that even if it's koidem matan mois, if she's quiet when she gets back something that was owed from her, something that was grabbed from her and returned, the halacha is ein mekudeshes. That's the way we learned in loy ratza, that she was quiet, and yet it's ein mekudeshes. So we have a contradiction. Elav shema amina, hadishadach hadaloishadach. So it must be that is the very difference that we said before. If it was shadach, if they were speaking about shaduchim, then ein chanami, koidem matan Mois, if she's quiet, it will work. She will be mekudesh. That's the halach of kitcha begezel b'chamas b'gneva, that oishachat b'mitzal miyarem b'kitcha mekudesh. There were shaduchim over there. However, where it's loishadech, even if it's koidem matan mois, it's only good if she says in, but if she's quiet, it's not good, because Rav Nachman says in that case, where loy shadich, she could say, I didn't say anything, because in shakli, udadi shakli. So it comes out from our entire sugya that we've learned so far, that although usually in a normal case, by a woman keeping quiet, she is mukudashas, but in these two cases, in Rav's case, where she's quiet, la'achar matan mois, or in Rav Nachman's case, even koidem matan mois, but she was getting back what had been grabbed from her. In both of these cases, we say that her shtika does not indicate that she is, in fact, agreeing to become mekudeshes. And now the Gemara continues with an event that happened after the ptira of Rav Asi. Ki noch nafshi de Rav Asi, when Rav Asi was nifter, Ailu Rabbonin, the Rabbonin went up, l'nakutinu l'shmaitzei, to gather together, as Rashi explains, all his teachings. They wanted to hear what everyone remembered from the teachings of Rav Asi, so that none of the things that he had taught in his lifetime would become forgotten. And therefore, the Gemara now, on Amud Aleph and on Amud Beis, will mention several different halachas that have one common denominator, and that is that they were taught by Rav Asi. Amar Le'ahu Rabban Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, one of the Rabbanim's name was Rabbi Yaakov, said, Hachi Om Rav Asi, Om Rav Mani. This is Rav Asi said in the name of Rav Mani. Kishem Sheini Shaniknis B'Pachas B'Shavar Pruta, just like a woman is not Niknis. With less than a pruta, that's not kesef, and you need a pruta, as we learned in the Mishnah, Dav Bezum et Aleph, kach ein karka, niknis b'pachas b'shavar pruta. So too, karka cannot be acquired with less than a shavar pruta. So Toisus in the top, Toisus Kishem, has a question that we learned on Dav Bezum et Aleph, kicha mistei Ephrain, that kesef that it helps by an isho, we learned out from stei Ephrain. So in fact, we're learning kedushin from karka, and here we're learning, the Gemara is learning karka from kedushin. So Taisus gives two truths, and the first here it says that this will be going according to Mandi Amar, who doesn't learn out from kicha, he learns out from yatsa chinam. which we had there on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Or Tosfos says that even if you do learn from Kicha Kicha, however, the derech is to learn the thing that's most posh at first. And between, even though you're learning Kiddush from Karka, the one that is more mefursim and well-known and everyone's aware of it is the halacha by Kiddushin, because that's our opening Mishnah here in the Masechta, that you need a pruta to be Mekadesh Shanit and Pachs Mishar Pruta, and Isha is not Mekadesh, and that's why we do the reverse. We start off with Kiddushin, and we say, just like a woman can't be Niknami Pachs Mishar Pruta, so to Karka, although in reality, the Lemudim are Kiddushin from Karka, and not Karka from Kiddushin. Amrulay, so they said to him when he quoted this halach in the name of Rav Asi, Vatani will learn the Brisa, Afal Bishani Shandik is a Pasu Shavu Pruta. Even though a woman cannot become Kanui with less than a Pruta, Karka, Niknis Pasu Shavu Pruta, you could be Kaina Karka with less than a Shavu Pruta. Amrulay, he responded, Kitanya, he, when were we learning that in that Brisa? Bechalipin, the Sanya, we learned in a Brisa, Kainan Bekli, you can be Kainan with a Kli. As Chalipin, as we had by Rus, Vishal of Ishnaloi, they took out a shoe, and they were kind of karka. Through the barter, through the exchange, Afal Pishan by Shavar Pruta, even if that Kaili does not have a Shavar Pruta, you can be kind of. So, when we said that Alocha, a woman cannot be nicknessed with Pachar Shavar Pruta, and also karka cannot be nicknessed with Pachar Shavar Pruta, there we were speaking about Kinyan Kesef. But Eino Chinami, there is a difference between Karka and Isha, that concerning Isha, we learned that Chalipin does not work to be Mekadosh and Isha, B'Pachas Mishar V'Pruta, whereas by Karka, Chalipin will work if you're doing it, B'Tairus Chalipin, if the Keli is worth less than a Shavar Pruta. Hodei Yasvi, then they sat V'Kamer, they said another halach in the name of Rav Asi. And here Rav Asi commented on a halacha that was first said by Rav Yehud in the name of Shmuel. Ha'adam Rav Yehud Amr Shmuel. Kol she'en yedei betiv gittin v'kedushin. Lo yehei lo yehei sikimo. And anybody who does not know the nature of gittin and kedushin. As he's not an expert in these halachas, he should not be busy with these halachas. And on this, Amr Rav Asi Amr Rav Yehud. V'kashin lo ilum yoshim dar mabel. People. Dayanim. Now Rashi says, Dayanim hamoyrim hayro barais, and divri amaschal hodu yasvi v'ka'amri. That when we say that whoever doesn't know betiv, the nature of getting kedushin, he's not a buck in hills getting kedushin, he shouldn't have any shaykhus with them. It's, if someone does do that, and what does he do? He paskins halachas concerning getting kedushin, that can wind up even worse than what happened to the Dora Mabel. The Aveira for doing that is worse than the Aveira of the Dor HaMabel, and the Oynish will be, as we'll soon see, greater for this Aveira than for the Dor HaMabel. So, first of all, we should stress, it's only a Psak, as the Mechaber in Simon Memtes, Halacha Gimel, in Evan Ezra tells us, that a person should not say Hoira, as we saw from Rashi, and therefore, based on this, the Achorinim say, that in fact, a Mesader Kedushin, it's possible, you have someone who's not a dayan, he's not a bucky in all the hilchas of the kedushin, and yet he's kosher to be a mesader kedushin. The reason is because usually it's basically a non-complicated matter, and therefore it's not considered, as long as the person knows the basic siddur of kedushin, it's not considered being a moira hayra, and therefore the person is not over on this thing, on this member of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shmuel, that if you're not a baki b'tiv gittin kedushin, lo yeh lo esiki moin. However, when it comes to gittin, or it comes to kedushin that follow gittin, since if the gittin were not done correctly, we chas v'shalom would be matur in eishes ish li'alma. And then if she got remarried being an eishes ish, if the get was not a good get, and she would marry someone else, her children would be mamzerim. That is certainly an inyan of hayroah, and a person who's not a tremendous baki should stay away from those inyanim. In fact, the Marsha says that's very well understood why it says here, whoever is not a Baki betiv gitten v'kedushin. Why do we put gitten before kedushin? So first the Marsha says the same reason that the Masechta gitten is before Masechta kedushin. And this is because it's learnt out from the pasuk v'yatzah v'hoisa, that she leaves her first husband and she goes havaya, we're makish havaya liyitzia, when she enters a new marriage. So kedushin in that pasuk follows the get that preceded it, and that's why, in fact, masechta kedushin based on that pasuk follows masechta gitten. But then the Marsha says, in line with what we said from the halach in Simon Memtes, that it's only a hayra. So when does it become a hayra? When it's kol shen yedeya betiv gitten v'kedushin. He doesn't know about gitten, which is a hayra, and he doesn't know about the kedushin that follow a gitten. That's all hayra. However, kedushin itself that precedes gitten, that he could be a mesader kedushin, even if he's not a total expert 100% in, as a dayan would be in the tiv of gitten v'kedushin. So it's very good, says the Marsha, the seder here in this memra of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, kol she'en yedeya b'tiv gitten v'kedushin, and it doesn't say kedushin v'gitten. Now, where do we see that's worse than the Dora Mabel? We're on the first wide line of the Gemara, Shenemar. A false shvuah, v'rotzach, and a murder, v'gonav, and stealing, v'niyav, and illicit relationships. Parotzu, they broke out, v'damim b'damim nagu, and blood touched blood. Simply, that would be referring to ritzicha, that there was so much murder that like one person's blood touched another corpse's blood that was spilled. Now, my mashma, where do you see from this pasuk that it's referring to a dayan who doesn't know tiv gitten v'kedusha? It's worse than a dora mabel. Can a matargum Rabbi Yosef? As Rabbi Yosef was matargum Rashi, says Rabbi Yosef was a baki in targum of Nevi'im of Rabbi Yonason ben Uziel. So he was matargum on this pasuk, molden benin, that they gave birth to children, minishe, they begot children, minishe chavreim, from the wives of their friends, chayven al chayven maisifin, that's what it means, dam in bedam nagu, means one detrimental act following another, avera gereris avera. Uksiv, al kain to avil oretz, therefore the land should mourn, the umlan should become desolate, kol yoshvei bo, whoever dwells there, b'chaya, chayes hasada, boy fishermaim, the birds, v'gam d'gei ayom yasafu, and the fish at sea should also be destroyed. Everything should be destroyed because of these averus. So we see, if damim b'damim nagu, according to the Targum, Yonason ben Uziel refers to people who are over on the Isser of Eishes Ish, on the Niyuf, and as a result they have Mamzerim, and that's why the Marsha says, in fact, it's worse what these judges who don't know what they're doing than the Dora Mabel, even though the Dora Mabel did it b'mezid, and these judges are doing it b'shoigeg, and it's a Suffolk Eishes Ish, not a Vadi Eishes Ish. Why is it worse, asked the Marsha? Teretz is, because in the time, Koyde Matan Torah, what was happening there, the children, at least, there was no din that they were mamzerim. But now, what these judges are doing, they're causing mamzerim. That's choiv al choiv. That's damim b'damim nagu. Not only are they involved in the Isser of Eishes Ish, possibly, but they're possibly causing one mumser after another to be created. So, therefore, the punishment is that even the Degei Ayam should be affected. V'ilu b'dor mabul, lo nigzer gzeir al dung shir b'yam. By the dor mabul, there was no gzeir on the fish. And never, mikol shir b'charov emesu, whatever was on dry land died. V'loi dung shir b'yam, but not the fish at sea. V'ilu hacha, and over here, by what the judges, through their not knowing the halachas clearly, they were causing mamzerim, and afilu dagim shabiyam were also part of the punishment. Ask the Gemara of Eimad ad da'avad lekulu. Maybe you have to do all of them. How do you know that this is a punishment worse than that of the Dora Mabel just for what the judges were doing wrong? Shenemar, Lois al gadat, you shouldn't think like that. Dichsev, it's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, ki mipnei Allah of l'art. The earth has to mourn just for the problems that arose from Shvuah. So you see that even though we mentioned a number of Averis in the first wide line, Allah v'kichash rutzuch, the God of Inov, but yet, you see, for one alone is of lords. Ask the Gemara of Emra, Allah l'chud v'hanachudein. You're good. You split off Allah from the rest. But maybe you need all the rest together. Kichesh v'ratuach v'gona v'noach. You need all of them. And only then is it a worse arnish than the Dora Mabel. How do you know that what the judges did alone is can cause an arnish worse than the Dora Mabel? As we turn to the Yud Gimel Mabez, Miksiv u'forotzu. Does it say in the Pasuk that ufortzu, that there's with a vav, that would connect them all together, that would put all those many averes together? No, it says portzu, it says parotzu, it says ksiv, it says it broke forth alone what the judges had done wrong. So for that alone, we find an einish that's worse than that of the Dora Mabel. Then we find a new halacha that Rav Asi was involved with. Hadr Yasri Kamer, they sat further and they spoke over to each other another din of Rav Asi. Hadisnan, that which we learned in a Mishnah, in Kenan. Ha'isha Sheviyah Chatasa, speaking about a Yoledes, a woman who gave birth, so she's Mechuyev to bring a Chatas and a Noila. So she already brought her Chatas. Umesa, she died before she brought her Oila. Yaviu Yarshan Oila, so her Yarshan have to bring her Oila. And now, if she had not brought her chatas, the Yarsha wouldn't bring her chatas. Because the chatas shemesa balea is one of the chatois where you don't bring after the misa of the owner, a chatas is not brought. However, the chidashir is that an oila could be brought after the death of the yoledes, who is the one who is mechuyiv in the oila. The Yarshim have to bring the oila for their mother. Amr Yudom Shmuel. So on this, Rav Yudom said in the name of Shmuel, v'hu shefri shasa mechayim. That's only if the mother separated the animal when she was still alive. Then the Yarshim have an obligation to pay that debt to Hegdish and sacrifice the oila. But if she didn't separate it, Michaim, even though she was obligated to bring that korban, loy, then the Shmuel sheet is that the Yarsha would not have to bring the oila for their mother. Al maksaver. So we see that Shmuel holds shibuda lavda raisa, as Rashi explains, that the property of a person is an arev, is a guarantor for the responsibilities of a person. Nichse de inish, achroin, they're arvin, they're meshubed, they have a lien on them to pay the responsibility of the owner. So the Yarshim have to pay that responsibility because the property that they inherited from their mother has this lien on it. So, that's if you hold shibuda daraisa. For example, something that's written in the Torah that there is an obligation to pay, if you hold shibuda is daraisa, then it would be a shibud, a lien on the property, which the Yarshim would have to take care of. But Shmuel's of the opinion that it's only if she did an act when she was alive of separating the animal for the oila. But if she did not do that act, there would be no obligation. So we see shibuda lav daraisa. We see that which the Torah obligates the mother does not carry over to the children unless she was mafreshet mechayim. I'm a Rav Asi, and on that Rav Asi, and that's why we bring this whole din in here, because it's again one of the halachas of Rav Asi. I'm Rav Yochanan, said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Afal Gav Shaloi Hifrisha Mechayim. Even if she did not separate it, there is a shibud, and al maksaver, we see that Rav Asi in the name of Rav Yochanan holds, shibudu havadaraisa, that shibud is daraisa, that even if you're not mafreshet mechayim, or as Rashi says, in, we're going to have soon the same halacha pertaining to milva peh and milva bishtar. If you wrote a milva bishtar, you wrote a loan in a document. So in the document you write, nichsin achroin loch, that my nechasim are meshubed for this loan. That means that my yorshim will have to pay this loan if the loiva dies before he pays it, the yorshim have to pay. Or if the somebody bought the field from the loiva after the loan was made, that property is has a lien on it, and the lekeach will have to pay. That's by a milva bishtar. But by milvah peh, there, it doesn't have the strength, same strength as a milvah bishtar. It's not written into a document. There we'll say, you have a shibud, you have a responsibility to pay up the loan, but shibuda lav deraisa. It's not, you're not mishibud mideraisa, unless you separated, like the woman that she separated before she died, or the loiver wrote it in the shtar. Then it is a shibud. Otherwise, the shibud alone is not deraisa. So the Gemara asks, very good. We have a machloikis here between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav Asi is the one who quoted Rabbi Yochanan, who held Shibuda is the rice, and even therefore even loyv rishos mechaim it's chayiv. Why do we need that machloikis? Well, pligi b'chadazimna, we already had this same machloikis between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. The Rav who Shmuel damer tavaya milva peh ain't a gavim in a yarshim v'loyman alakuchos. Rav and Shmuel, here we have again Shmuel, said, both of them said that a milva peh, where it's only a shibud, it's not written into a shtar. So he wasn't mishabed himself, his property, that the yorshim should have to pay it, or the lekeach. So a milva peh ain't a government of yorshim, v'loy melekuchas. You cannot collect it from the yorshim or from the lekuchas. That's the sheet of Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, Dharma Tavayu, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish both said, milva peh goive, bein mena yorshim, bein mena lekuchas. They do, you do collect milva peh, both from those who inherit, and also from the people who purchased this field after the loan was made. So it's clear what is the machlokes between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, that Shmuel holds shibuda lav deraisa, and that's where you cannot collect from the yorshim lekuchos, and Rabbi Yochanan holds shibuda is deraisa. So why do we need this machlokes by oletus, and why do we need it by milva peh? It's the same machlokes, answers the Gemara. Tzricha, we need both machlokes. Di itmar baha, if you would just tell me this halacha by milva peh, b'hach kamer Shmuel, that's where Shmuel says you cannot collect from the yorshim or the lekuchos, mishum, Delay milvik suva b'tayrihi. It's not a case like your lettuce, which is an obligation that comes from the Torah. As Rashi says, loy hutlo lov chayva me'es ha-melech. It's not something that's obligated to you because of Hashem the king. Elam iske me'es atzma. You yourself brought it upon yourself. So that doesn't have the same strength as something that's written in the Torah. Avol b'hach, but in the case of the Oledes, as Rashi says, the mitzvah ha-melechi, there I would have thought that Shmuel would agree to Rabbi Yochanan that milva ksuva b'tayra is a ksuva b'shtar dummy. Let's go back to the Gemara. As something that's written in the Torah, it's as if it's written in a shtar. And a shtar, everyone agrees that there's a shibud on the nechasim. So I would have thought that he's moided to Rabbi Yochanan Shach's day, for it had to tell you that even by the case of Yoletis, he disagrees and he holds that there is no shibud. Shibud alav derais of Yeshmina Baha. And if it would have told us by Yoletis, Baha come Rabbi Yochanan. That's where Rabbi Yochanan said that the Yorshim and the Lekuchas have to pay. The milva kiksuva b'tar, kiksuva shtar dumya. Because the milva that's written in the Torah, it's as if it's written in a shtar. And there is a shibud. Ava b'hach. But in the case of milva al peh, where it's not a chiyuv from the Torah, ema modal eli Shmuel, I would have thought there are b'yoichlin's modal to Shmuel that shibud alav the rice in that case. Therefore, tzricha, it tells you that in both cases, Rabbi Yochanan holds side by milva al peh and side by yoletes that shibud the rice, and Shmuel holds in both cases shibud alav the rice. That's why I need both cases. Amra papa, what do we paskin alach alamaisa? Hilchas that halacha is milva peh goivim in a yarshim, that a milva peh collects from yarshim. Ve'ein a goivim in a lakuchois, but not from lakuchois. So a puppet makes like a split decision. On the one hand, he paskins, yes, you collect from yarshim. On the other hand, he paskins, not from lakuchois. Now he gives the rationale. Goivim in a yarshim, because shibud deraisa. You could be goivim from the yarshim, because there is a shibud on a milva peh, like Rabbi Yochanan said, mideraisa. Therefore, the yarshim have to pay off the debt. Even though it was a milva al peh, it was done, not written, but it was done verbally. But v'ena goivim in alakuchos. But even though if it's shibuda deraisa, you should have been able to collect from lakuchos as well. The reason is, the rabbanan made a special takana, the less lekola. When somebody buys a field, so if there was a loan that was written down, that has a kol, a voice, people find out about it. So you, if you would have investigated, you would have been able to find out that it's a risky thing to buy this karka, because if the loiva doesn't pay off, there's going to be a lien on your karka. They're going to take your karka away. But my milva peh, there, nobody talks about it. It's not well known, well publicized, so you weren't able to protect yourself. The heir for the Rabbanim protected you and said that if you bought it subsequent to the loan, and then the loiva wasn't able to pay up the loan, your nechasim are not meshubit to pay off that loan. There is no lien on your property because you didn't have a adequate way of protecting yourself. That's why we have this split halacha that yes, goyvim min hayorshim because shibuta deraisa, but no, we don't collect from the lekuchais as a protection for the lekuchais by a milva al peh as a takana for the lekuchais. Continues the Gemara to explain the next case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, on daf beis amud al, v'koynes atzma beget v'misa baal. She can acquire herself through a get. She's no longer married to her husband, or b'misa sabal. So the Gemara says, b'shlam a get echsiv, because of a sefer krisis. And the pasuk continues, v'hoysuli shacher, that she gets a get, it cuts, severs the relationship between the husband and wife, she can go and marry somebody else. So we see clearly that a get can give her the ability to marry someone else. Elamisa Baminon, how do we know that if her husband dies that she can marry anyone else in the world? The Gemara says, Svarahu. It's a logic. Why? Who Asra? As Rashi explains, what made her tied to her husband? When he was living, she was tied to him. The who Sharsa. Now that he's dead, now that there is no bond between them anymore, she's not tied to him. So Mimela, logically, she would become mutter to marry anybody else. The Gemara says, but we find sometimes that even after death, the Surim continue. For Arias, by Arias, for example, Ashes Aviv, his father's wife, or Kalosai, his daughter-in-law, or Ashes Achi Aviv, the wife of his father's brother, his aunt, even if their husbands in all these three cases die, the father dies, the son is still also to Ashes Aviv. The son dies, the father still also to the daughter-in-law. So the Gemara says, arise the Asar Lahu, he became usher to these women because of the husband, v'loy sharlu. And even after the husband dies, he still remains usher to these women. So we see that this is not necessarily an absolute truth. And therefore, our question comes back, how do you know that she becomes mutter to the world after the death of the husband? Ella midam rachmana. We're going to learn from a different place. Since the Torah said, yivama shein lo bana masura, that a yivama who has no children has to marry the brother, and loisiyah eishat meisha chutzal izor, she cannot marry anybody else. So we can deduce from that, hoyesh lo banim, but if she has children, so she's not allowed to marry her brother-in-law. She's only allowed to marry the brother-in-law if she has no children from from her husband. So if there is sons, she is not mutter to marry her brother-in-law, but she becomes muteris to marry anybody else in the whole world. There is no iser of Lysia Shame Sachutzul Ishzor. Vidilma says the Gemara, no, maybe. Ein lo bonim asur la alma v'shar li yabim. If she has no children, then she's usher to the world and mutter to yabim. V'yesh lo bonim. If she has children, then l'kuli alma nami asur. Then she's usher both to her brother-in-law and to the rest of the world. Who says that when she has children, she becomes all of a sudden mutter to the rest of the world? Ella. Midom rachmanet. Since the Torah said amana l'kohen gadol asur, then an amana to a kohen gadol is forbidden. Ho l'kohen hedyet sharya. It's only an Isser Amon Kangal alav to marry Kangal. But the Kohen Hedyet, this Amon is mutter. So we see an Amon is mutter to marry other men, only not a Kohen Gadol. The Gemara asks, V'dilma l'Kohen Gadol alav. Maybe the Kohen Gadol is alav. L'kuliyama basay. Everybody else is not mutter to her, but they won't have a lav, but they will have an Isser v'nasay. What is this theoretical Isser asay? So Rashi says that we would learn it out from the pasuk. V'yotza v'hoysel ish acher, through gittin, she goes and is able to marry another man, but we would learn out that she's not able to learn to marry another man through the misa of her baal. V'sholcha, the husband sends her away to somebody else, but this excludes, it's a lav habo michlal asay, which has a din of an asay, an isser asay, that she should be sent away to another man. From that I deduce that's only in the case of gittin. but through Misa she will not be sent to another man. So that's a prohibition that comes from a positive mitzvah. Lav Abba Machlas has a din of a say. That's the way Rashi learns the sugya. Taisa disagrees, and Taisa says that we learn out Bereishis Perik Beis that v'davak beishtoi v'loi beishis chaveri, that by every eishis ish there is a asay, a lav Abba Machlas asay, from which we learn out from v'davak beishtoi and not Be'eshes chaveroi. So the Gemara is saying that perhaps that assay would apply even after death. To a kohen gadol there would be a loisa, and to the rest of the world there would be an assay. Ask the Gemara, hi assay maya vidite. What's the purpose of this assay? How does the assay remain by itself, and we get rid of the lav and the chorus involved with eshes ish, but we wind up with an assay? Mamanavsha, Ida Hanyamisabal, if the death of the husband worked, so Tishtri Lagamri, then let it work across the board, she should become mutter totally, no lav, no chorus, no assay either. Ida Loya Hanyamisabal, and if you're going to tell me on the other hand, no, that Misabal does not work, it's not effective, then Tukma Bimosa Kamaisa. Let her remain with all the prohibitions from the beginning. Let her have a lav, let her have chorus. And since, as Rashi explains, we see that the Torah gave a special law to Amon Kohen Gadol, which indicates that it's only to a Kohen Gadol and not to anybody else. The law is off. Then if the law is off, we go back. If the chorus and the law are no longer here by anybody else, then we have to say that the whole slate is wiped clean and the essay is off as well. We certainly see we don't go with the track of lav and chorus, because it's only a lav to an Amon Lekohen Gadol. So if you're going on the heter side, it makes sense to say that it's totally mutter. Says the Gemara, why? Alam aloy, why not? Why not say that there is an assay that remains? Where do we find a precedent for that? Afikta mi misa v'ukimta al assay. It's possible that she goes out from misa and she still remains with an assay. Where do you see a precedent? Midi davi apsule migdashin. That's a kachim that became pasul before your podit. The mikara ispu mila. There's an isser to have hanah from it, to eat it. Vasiri begiz of avaida. You're not allowed to share it or to do work with it. However, perkinu, if you redeemed it, me'ilu lesbu, the isser mila goes off, but begiz of avaida asiri. Giz and avaida is still prohibited. So we see that you could do something which removes some of the isurim, and yet the other isurims are still retained. Ella, here's how we know that misa makes her mutter to the world. Mid amar krav, since the Torah says, penyamis bum muhammad, a person who just got married should go back from the war, because maybe he'll die in war. And somebody else will take her. So we see that if someone dies, someone else is permitted to marry her. Maskel Rav Sheshet Bar Ravidi, Eima Man Acher, you know who the Acher is, Yavam. That's what the pasuk means. Maybe he'll die in war, he won't have children, and his brothers, the Ish Acher, will take her. Amravashi based Chuvus Bedarva, that cannot be the pshat. Two reasons. Chada, the Yavim La Yikri Acher. We wouldn't refer to a Yavim as an Acher, but rather an Acher is a totally separate person who has no Zika that a Yavim has on this woman. He would not be referred to as Acher. Va'oid Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, by a person who divorced his wife, and she went ahead and married somebody else. And then she got divorced, or she became an Almana from that second husband. So there's an Isser of Machzer Grushasa Mishenisas V'sano Isha Acherin. And the second husband hated her. Because lo sefer krisis, he wrote her a get. Oy, ki yomis v'yishachman, or he died. She's not allowed to go back to her first husband. So we iskish misa legershin. Since we see misa and gershin put together, we make a hekish there. We compare misa to gershin. Ma gershin shari yivigomeris. Just like when you have the heter of gittin, it's a total heter. There's no misa, there's no lav, there's no assay, there's nothing. She's totally permitted to marry anyone else. So, af misa shari v'gomer, so too, by misa you cannot say you remain with an assay, but rather misa is compared to gittin, it's totally mutter. Rashi asks the question, why do we need a hekesh? Why can't we learn it from the simple understanding of the pasuk itself? Because it says in the pasuk, lo yuchel bala arisha, and her first husband cannot, lashuv lekachto, liyus lo leisha, he cannot take her back for a wife. From that we could deduce, but someone else is mutter. And the someone else is mutter, whether she got divorced from the second husband or whether the second husband died. So you see that misa is mutter. So why do we need a hekesh from gerushin to misa? Let's learn it from the mashmas haposuk, that the posuk is telling me there's only an isser of machzor rishasei to the original first husband, but to anybody else she would be permitted through misa. On that, Rashi answers that we cannot learn it from the mashmas alone, because there we would have the Gemara's original question that perhaps just the losasa, the lav, the chorus goes off, but an asay would still remain. Rashi entices whatever the pshat in the asay is, the machlokes we had before. So we'd have that question on that mashmois as well. So the only way the Gemara has a clear pshat is to say it's not from the mashmois, the understanding, but rather from the hekish. We're makish misa to gerushin. Just like gerushin is gomeris, it's a total separation from all isurim, even an isur asay, so to misa is a total separation, even from an asay, and that's how we know, in fact, that misa is a heter for her to marry.